Hey, I'm Micah.
And I'm Jen.
From 1994 to 1996, Jen lived in the middle of nowhere, Montana.
But not by choice.
She was sent to a therapeutic boarding school.
I had some issues.
While there, she performed hard labor.
There was also a lot of forced exercise.
Went through daily, hours-long group therapy.
That shit didn't work.
And when she left, she was left with some holes in her life.
Holes?
One of the holes was her pop culture hole.
Yeah, I missed a lot of shit.
And that's a hole we can fill. Grab your denim vest. It's time for...
I never saw that.
It was a circus show.
I was just going to say, what? This is not a circus. We talked about Fantasy by Mariah Carey last week, Micah, which was a circus sort of thing.
Circus thing?
Well, I mean clowns, scary clowns.
Oh, yeah.
Were in the video.
Maybe
if you
that's
didn't listen
happened.
To last week's episode, we talked about music videos, and that was one of them. But I don't know why you just sang a circus song.
Well, because I have song amnesia. It's called songnesia, where I know songs, but when I have to sing them or hum them, I can't remember them. So I just start making noises with my mouth, and then I follow the first note with another note, and then it just goes into
What was that you were trying to do?
That was the Murder, She Wrote theme, the piano.
Try it again.
Nope. I have no concept. I have absolutely no portion of a memory of the melody.
I kind of understand that, actually. You would think that I would be laughing at you right now, but I understand that in a visual, spatial kind of way. Like, I can imagine a shape or an object, but I cannot recreate it with my hands.
Well, I was hoping someone would laugh at me. Maybe you. But now no one's laughing because you just told that really interesting, funny story.
Oh, I think people definitely laughed when you did whatever the fuck that was. Why don't I try? I don't even know the song, but I bet I'll do. I bet you I'll get closer to you.
Oh, absolutely. You can't be further away.
What did you do?
Wow, you remembered mine perfectly.
No, I didn't. Well, I tried to change it. I see. It's really hard not to just go in. Hey, Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
We're talking about the finale of the entire show.
Let me tell you, it was weird watching the last episode of a show and not having any sort of context or any real memory of the show. Although when it started, I did remember the theme song. I was like, oh God, the Murder, She Wrote music.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have no context. Everyone knows this show. I feel like this is one of those shows that, and actually a lot of people in our Facebook group were excited that we were going to do this episode because I think a lot of people's like grandparents watched this show, or it was just on a lot. You know, like if you were a kid just hanging out at home, if you had a lot of time at home by yourself and you were just watching TV, I think this show was on a lot.
Well, I think at the time it was on Sunday nights. It was a big show for CBS.
Yeah.
Later it went into reruns on like the Hallmark Channel and some other things, but people remember it from when it was on, I think. And actually, I did read an article about the final episode, which is titled Death by Demographics. We'll get into that later.
That's the title of the episode, not the article.
Angela Lansbury was quoted in the article, which was called Murder, They Wrote Off by Tom Shales. It was in the Washington Post, and it appeared May 19th, 1996.
Also not clever.
No. He interviewed Angela Lansbury, and she said that she would walk down the street and people would talk to her or get really angry at CBS and talk to her about it. She would also, in the grocery store, people would sidle up next to her, and little girls would come up next to her and say, I love your show. Or people would say, I watch it with my daughter all the time. And so she was trying to say that she has encountered two children who said they enjoyed the show. So,
like, she said that trying to save it, or this was after the fact?
I think it was after they had already made the decision and the last show was going to air. Mm. But there was the last year it was on, they moved it. So CBS changed their time slot from Sunday night, which they were on for a long time with 60 Minutes, to Thursday. So they were opposite Friends, the new Friends show. And this article that I read was so perfect for Murder, She Wrote. It just fit with how stodgy and old-fashioned and it was.
The article?
Yeah, the way it was written. At one point, it says that Murder, She Wrote is partly a victim of commercial television's mad youth mania. And it talks a lot about demographics.
Oh my God. Wait, who wrote this article and when?
This TV critic, Tom Shales.
Like, after it was canceled? Before it was canceled?
Yeah, after it was canceled, I think before the final episode was aired, but everybody knew it was over.
That's hilarious, because that is what the final episode is about.
Yes, and that's what they said. The death by demographic. Let me just read the beginning of the article. Angela Lansbury and Murder, She Wrote are going out classily, as anyone could have predicted. But they're going out sassily, too. The title of the show's last episode, Death by Demographics, is in itself something of a protest. Murder, She Wrote is partly a victim of commercial television's mad youth mania. Yeah, it talks a lot about how the show was very polite and it was cultured and it had it's
oh my God.
Basically the whole last episode.
That's what the episode is. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, because the whole thing is about this classical radio station and it's going to be changed to a rock station.
Yes.
It's just horrible. Can you imagine?
Yeah, so Angela Lansbury is friends with the DJ.
Howard.
David Ogden Steers is the actor.
He's a MASH guy.
He died in 2018 in March.
That's what you said. Right? March 2nd, I think you said.
Not part of the curse.
March 3rd.
Not part of all the people we've killed.
Explain the curse, because
there are several.
We might have new listeners.
People we've killed on this episode.
that's the
we've
curse.
We've murdered them during the podcast.
We've murdered so many people on this show.
We have guests from the 90s and then we kill them.
We thought it would make us edgy, you know, but it turns out now we just have a lot of blood to clean up and, you know, bodies under our floorboards. And it's
okay. I think we've taken this little joke far enough.
No, the curse is that a couple people have died right after we talked about them on our podcast.
Which isn't that weird, guys. I mean, we're talking about a time period that was 20 plus years ago and some of these people are old.
Well, Dolores O'Riordan wasn't that old, but anyways. Yeah, so we kill people.
We didn't kill David Ogden Steers, though.
We
That's
didn't,
the point.
But I'm telling you, how old is Angela Lansbury?
If anybody out there knows Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, put her in a safe place.
Warn her. Just
actually, it's probably too late for
get
her.
Some bubble wrap.
By the time this comes out, it is probably too late.
Oh, I thought you meant just because she's so old.
No, no, no. I mean, because once we have finished recording this episode, that's when the curse that's when the time on the curse clock is set.
So, Jen, the only way to end the curse is to never finish recording this episode.
I don't like that idea at all.
We can't stop.
I think I'd rather kill someone than do this forever.
Sorry, Miss Lansbury.
Sorry, honey. When it's your time, it's your time. You know?
And seriously, I mean,
come on, don't dog Angela Lansbury.
I'm not dogging Angela Lansbury. She was pretty bitter in this article, this interview I read.
Oh, that's funny.
So the show was on 12 years. We watched.
Oh, I was going to ask. So were there were 12 seasons?
Yeah. We watched the last episode. Although they did make TV movies after this episode was on.
Now, I think I had seen maybe one episode of this. I do remember watching it at some point. But it was not something that I watched regularly like a lot of people did of our generation, apparently.
Well, we did watch a little bit recently. Do you remember?
You mean the last episode? You mean
no, we were in a hotel and we turned the TV on and we came
very
in
recently.
Kind of in the middle of an episode and we thought, oh, let's watch a little Murder, She Wrote because we're going to record about it soon. It was painful.
I remember zero about it.
We watched about 5 minutes and it was just so forking boring. What is this? The Good Place?
The Good Place. I love that show. There's a podcast about it, by the way. It's called Everything is Fine.
Yes, definitely check that out. Great show, great podcast.
And great promotion. Okay, I was going to say something. Oh, just it seems weird to me that I would have only seen one episode because it's so familiar. I know the story of it.
Well, let me think.
I mean, I don't know the story of it. I know she's like she's a writer who solves crimes.
I'm just doing the math really quick. So when it was on in the early 90s, let me think. Were your parents 80? I don't think they were. I'm not that good at math.
Oh, wait, let me do that math real quick. Early 90s. What year is it now? 2018.
Yeah.
Carry the four.
Like they're 103
like my parents
now, right?
Are, let's see. My mom just turned 114.
Okay.
Yeah. My dad is a spry young 112. So
they were in their mid
80s. Maybe 90s. I don't know.
You can't do the math. So that may be why you didn't watch it, because your parents were not, in fact, that old.
Well, it's not about being old. It's the fact that my parents didn't watch it, period. Yeah. I don't think. I mean, I don't remember watching it with them. So.
I heard that it was the longest running, boring ass, complicated show. I'm sorry, no. It was the longest running mystery show on network television up to that point.
It was not boring for its time at all. It was, when we watch it now, it's so fucking dated.
Yeah.
Like, the lighting is different than TV shows now. Just the way it's filmed is different. Mm-hmm. There's something, and I don't know enough about, you know, the making of movies and TV shows to know what it is. But as soon as you start watching it, you're like, oh, this is the 70s or 80s, early 80s, maybe. When did this show start? 1980-ish or late
70s? 88? No.
No. It
12
ended.
12 years, so.
Oh, and this ended.
96.
Oh.
So 84?
84. Right. So when you look at it, you're like,
math.
1980s.
Yeah.
And like I said, I thought even maybe 70s.
But they stuck with it through. And we watched the episode in 96 and it looked like 1984.
That's exactly it. And that's what I think is funny about this whole theme of their final episode, which is that youth culture is coming in and ruining all the classic things.
Yeah.
Which isn't the case. It's just that they aren't evolving. They could have probably, people loved that show if they would have evolved a little bit in their style.
So that brings me to a couple points in this article that I thought were funny. One was that it said, give some examples of old shows that look dated. And it says, but in 10 years, reruns of Murder, She Wrote will probably play just as well as they do today. That's why they're on the Hallmark
Which
channel.
Which was 12 years ago now.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Wait, 12 years ago now?
10 years from
the
last
right.
episode is 12 years ago. So, yeah.
This is a quote from the article. It may turn out to be one of the last network dramas to sustain a single narrative over the course of an entire hour. The new breed of dramas, ER being the most prominent example, gives viewers multiple storylines that ebb and flow throughout the program. You're not watching an hour-long drama so much as a collection of modular snippets, secular commercials, as it were, designed to appeal to the attention spans commercials and sound bites have encouraged.
See, this is like, it's just what every older generation does when anything new happens is they say, no, it's we have been doing it the right way and these newfangled gadgets are ruining humanity.
Yeah. The other,
it's ridiculous.
The other mystery shows that it's compared to in the article, because Angela Lansbury does talk about how they're going to do some TV movies after, much like they did with Perry Mason and Columbo. And
also shows I've never seen. So,
but also shows that did like one long story, which was an old style, and it was an older storytelling style on television, but also much older shows than Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah, but that was the point of that article, right? Was this was the last one, not,
not
that there haven't been any others.
But she was saying, like, those did very well with TV movies, so we're going to do those, and those were the old good shows. Like, really fucking old. Like, Perry Mason was black and white.
Right.
So if you're holding that up as an example of, this did well on the TV.
Yeah. Well, that's what they were doing. I mean, they modeled themselves after that, after those shows, and that's fine. It's fine. I mean, they were very successful and good at what they did for what it was. I just, when I watch it now, it was boring to me, for sure. And that is because my attention span is shorter. I mean, that is true, but that's also how it is. So.
But it's also strange to me that they pick on that one thing. Like, ER tells too many different little stories going on all the time. Like, have you ever heard of Shakespeare? Because many of his plays have several subplots moving through them constantly. It's very complicated.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's not a new idea.
Also, ER is set, I don't know if you know this, in an emergency room.
Mm-hmm. Where only one thing happens at a time.
And granted, I think it's probably, you know, vastly over-dramatized, but it's a emergency room in downtown Chicago is probably pretty fucking busy. You do have a lot of things going on at once. You can't pick one storyline. The whole point of that show is to show, you know what I'm saying? It's not a good example. It's not a good example to compare Murder, She Wrote to, is what I'm saying.
But what you have to understand, Jen, is when people turn on their television sets, you want to be lulled into slumber and bored to sleep.
Anyway, we haven't even started fucking talking about this episode.
Two more things that were very dated and brought me back that they did during the show. At the very beginning of the episode, they showed snippets of the episode they were going to show. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Instead of previously on.
You're right, but I think shows did used to do that.
Yeah. They did.
Tonight on Murder, She Wrote.
And then they showed snippets of the whole show.
You know what this show made me think of, and I don't know why? It made me think of The Love Boat.
Yes.
Because that's what I associate this sort of style with, mm-hmm. and I don't know if that's accurate. When was The Love Boat on? It's older, right?
I feel like it was older. It wasn't 70s. On in 96, but it was on in the 80s, no, the but early when did, 80s.
Yeah, but in 70s also, maybe?
I don't think it's that old, but I could be wrong. Yes, a lot of similarities.
Are there really?
Well, just not in the tone or the... Although sometimes The Love Boat had little mysteries.
I don't know. That's a show I have seen, but I remember none of it.
But good point, though, because The Love Boat had a lot of different subplots moving through mm-hmm. all the time. But the thing that I think is similar is that it was, in a lot of ways, these things were vehicles for guest spot appearances by big actors that you've seen in other things, like David Ogden Stiers. And Murder, She Wrote had a lot of those things. Like mm-hmm. people would come on and be guest stars for one episode.
And that's how they drew an audience, you mean? Or
no, but it was just like, I don't feel like that's as big a deal now in TV. They still do cameos and guest spots, but I feel like Love Boat was built for that. Mm-hmm. And Murder, She Wrote kind of was too, because that's one thing I was disappointed about in this episode. It wasn't set in her little town in Maine.
Right.
It was set in San Francisco, which is weird.
Yeah.
Because I think, first of all, I've never been to Maine, and I'm never fucking going.
Because there's so many murders.
There's so many goddamn murders there yeah. in these small towns. How Stephen King, there's like
oh,
this
yeah,
supernatural
Castle Rock.
Murderville
yeah.
that Stephen King writes about. And yeah. then Angela Lansbury, like, I mean, come on. After the 300th murder, somebody's got to start looking at Angela Lansbury and be like, you're fucking killing people. Just have
a
mystery.
Were they really all set in that town?
No, but I think most of them were.
Because that is ridiculous, isn't it? It's like kind of ludicrous. But that's that. Yes. They weren't really going for ludicrous?
No. It's the most dangerous town in the country.
Not the rapper Ludacris.
No, Ludacris did not guest
the other
on Murder,
spelling of Ludacris.
As a child.
Oh, they would never have had Ludacris.
That would have been
on
amazing.
The show. He's what's ruining... He's ruining the media with his newfangled rap singing and his metal teeth.
Okay, I think we got off track.
Anyway, can we just... Okay, so we've just fucking said nothing. I mean, not nothing. We've said some great things. Really insightful. We haven't said anything about the episode. So can we... Here's what I want to do. I want to set it up like a mystery for the listeners.
Okay.
Ooh, maybe we don't even reveal who it was at
the
end.
Oh my God.
Except that this aired a long time ago and some people have seen it, but I bet a lot of people haven't seen it or don't remember.
And most of the people that have seen it are dead now.
That is not accurate, Micah.
I think, well, like...
That's not accurate at all. People of all ages watch this show.
51%? I'm just saying, statistically.
What are the statistics, Micah? Let's do some more maths.
So, if you take a show that... The average viewer was 120 years old at the time it was shown, and that was 20 years ago. I'm just saying, statistically, most of them are going to be dead.
I guess, once again, we'll have to put some laughter in here for your terrible, fucking terrible jokes.
It wasn't a joke. Statistics are not a joke, Jen.
Fuck. Okay. So this episode, Howard is the name of the person Micah keeps saying. There's an Ogden in there. I don't remember the rest of his name.
David
he
Ogden
was on
Stiers.
MASH. That's
Have
all
some
that
respect
matters.
For dead people.
He was on MASH. He's a radio DJ, classical station, loves it, super into it. Everyone who works at the station also is of an older generation. The people who own the radio station announced that they are going to replace him.
They're
with,
changing the format.
They're changing the whole format of the station with this guy, TT.
Yeah.
I just spelled it TT. I don't know.
I think that's how you spell it. TT Baines.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes, San Francisco. This is TT. You heard that right. You know who I am. You know what I do. And unless you've
been living in your closet for the last couple of weeks, you know that starting on Monday, I am taking over the airwaves in San Francisco. That's right.
T.T. Baines.
Yeah, and he's the new, like, shock jock kind of
morning guy, obnoxious asshole
on the radio.
Totally obnoxious.
Chauvinistic turd.
He's really obnoxious. And it was just immediately apparent to me that the point of this was going to be that this guy's a turd and everything is wrong with the world and this change is terrible.
Bye-bye, Beethoven. Adios, Bach. Buenos noches, Brahms.
Mr. Baines.
Mr. Dean.
I will still be playing these until Monday.
Relax, you'll find them. They're right there. You see, what it is, Howard, is no more music by dead guys.
You dolt! You are a cultural sinkhole. You're a troglodyte!
Also, this is a note I took. Punk and alternative rock are ruining the world, is what Howard thinks.
Mm-hmm.
Based on this dude, TT, and his chest choices, I think he's right. Chest choices.
Chest choices? Like his shirt's being unbuttoned?
I think it's because his shirt was open. Yeah.
Well, he had a jacket on at one point, and his shirt was unbuttoned so far that you couldn't tell if he had a shirt underneath it.
Mm-hmm. That's sexy. That's what, you know, that's you do when you're a DJ in the 90s, I guess.
Yeah, because it's really hot in the studio, so you only wear a jacket. Cold?
Yep. So there's a, I don't know, what, who cares? I don't know. Jessica Fletcher, who you all may know, was Angela Lansbury's character on this show. She's a mystery writer, churns out a lot of books. She's basically Agatha Christie, I think. No, because she refers to Agatha Christie. Anyway, she's a mystery writer.
She's her own mystery writer.
Yeah, she's just a mystery writer who solves crimes.
On the side.
Because she's a mystery writer.
Because she happens to be around murders constantly.
Yeah, murders follow her everywhere. Why was she in San Francisco to begin with?
Because she's on a book tour. She has a new book out.
Oh, yeah.
Jessica's latest bestseller is A Case and a Half of Murder.
A Case and a Half of Murder.
Uh-huh. Which is that... A reference to like a case of wine or a case of beer.
I don't know what it's a reference to, but I was wondering if it is a really bad title because it seems really bad to me.
It is a real bad title. I think it is.
Real bad.
I also think a lot of the things in this episode and possibly in the show just are weird, absurd situations that would never happen in real life. Like she is a mystery writer, but she's doing a book tour and she's getting interviewed on a classical radio station.
Because
they often do that on radio stations.
I got the feeling she's friends. She and Howard are friends.
They were
so
friends,
maybe he set that up to help promote her book or something. Whatever.
Also, one technical problem I had with the show. The radio station.
KLOY-FM 114.3 on your radio dial.
And some of you may know that your radio dial only goes up to 107.9.
How did people find... Ooh, you know what this is? I just realized we missed everything. We misunderstood everything. This is a wizard radio station.
Oh.
It's like 9 3/4 platform.
Oh.
It's like the train to Hogwarts. You got to walk through the wall. So just like, you know, walking through the wall, if you're tuning that radio dial, you have to, you know, do a magic thing.
So instead of changing the format of the station, if they wanted more listeners, they should have made it a normal fucking radio frequency that people could pick up on their radios if they're looking for listeners and ads.
Well, I mean, wizards and magic folk can.
Right, but...
they know how to do it. There's a character named Bud. He's the son of the...
station owner.
Owner of the station. There's another guy named Russ. Russ and TT are like buds.
Yeah.
No one's happy with Russ. Russ and TT are trying to pull some
scam. Yeah, I wasn't clear if it was a scam. So Russ is like a PR guy and TT is the DJ and they were a big hit in Detroit and then in Chicago and now they're in San Francisco and they're taking over this station and I don't know if it was
it
a scam or if it was just he's just trying to get promoted to the bigger markets and he wants to go to LA and then New York because they mentioned that later. But there's also some scam with money because there's a woman involved who is engaged to the station owner
but she's sleeping with Russ.
Yeah, she's like a high school friend of Russ and TT's, and eventually somebody finds that out.
Basically, so I said a little bit ago that we were going to set this up like a mystery and have people guess. We're not going to
yeah,
actually
no, fuck that.
Because Who gives a fuck?
It was so
basically,
complicated
though, everybody
and convoluted.
Is a suspect, yeah. And everyone has a motive for killing. So the person who ends up getting murdered, and it's not till, I feel like, toward the end of the show.
Yeah.
Russ gets murdered. Everyone thinks it's Howard at first.
The old DJ.
The old DJ guy.
DJ.
Well, actually, let's just talk about characters and what each of their motives are. And then I got an idea. Let's guess. You and I can guess who did it.
Okay. That'll be a fun game.
Or maybe because we already know who did it, we could just say who we thought it was.
Yes.
Before we found out.
I have some notes on that.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, so there's Howard. His motive, obviously, would be he's losing his job. He's angry at this young punk who mm-hmm. is ruining everything. There's also Bud, the station.
He was the program director, basically.
Guy.
The son of the owner.
The owner is a suspect, I guess. But the woman is a suspect.
I don't think the owner was a suspect.
Oh, I don't even fucking know.
But the owner replaces Bud, kind of, with Russ. So Bud
oh, right.
has
so
a...
Right, so Bud was... That's Bud's yeah. motive. Well, the owner's motive would be that Russ was sleeping with his wife.
Right, yeah.
And her motive was to make sure that never got out. And also...
Also, she was in love with... She was really in love with... The owner this time. They had run this scam in different places
yeah,
before,
she
I guess.
Was not into the scam this time. That's what it was. She yeah. wasn't into it. She and TT both, like, didn't want to do it. So, yeah. so anyway, was, she's a suspect also.
Yeah. There was also an account guy, like, an ad sales guy who was in debt, like, in over his head.
Oh, yeah.
The accountant for the station was falsifying expense reports for him, giving him extra money because he had debts and medical bills and stuff.
Yeah.
So he's a suspect. He also is a... Angela gets a hold of the employee files at one point and finds out all kinds of salacious information about these people that would never be in employee files.
Like, well, and also, it's like, how fucking bad are these actual detectives that they didn't check
that they didn't
the
notice,
fucking
yeah.
employee files that apparently just anybody right. can walk in and request.
And she reads these things and realizes all these like, different motives that people have.
Yeah, and Colleen was another suspect. She works in the office. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care to give you all the details.
It's just know that there were 900 characters.
And they're all...
They all wanted to kill Russ.
Yeah. Everybody hated Russ. He was a dick. Who's Annie? I said Annie was a suspect. I don't know who that is.
I think she's the other ad sales lady.
Okay, so but let me tell you what I think are the important things, and then we can talk about who we thought did it. Number one, during the watching of this episode, Micah kept going,
Did I?
Like he was busy solving the case. You weren't doing that on purpose?
No, I think I just do that when I watch mysteries. It's like, just my natural response.
It was funny. It was cute. And, Howard is on a rifle team.
Yep. As you are.
What the fuck's a rifle team?
Just shooting targets.
That's it? That's what you do on a rifle team?
I don't know. Maybe it's a biathlon team. I don't know. There is.
No,
there
he
are
said
competitions.
Rifle team.
There are rifling competitions. Not rifling. That's not what it's called.
Rifling. I think it is called that.
Marksmanship.
Oh, that's what it was. He's on a team that like rifles through people's stuff.
Yes.
That's what it is.
They look for things in their paperwork.
I'm going to definitely put some laughter in here.
Okay.
So, another thing. So like, I know I just jumped into this on the last episode ever after 12 seasons, but I was really, let's say, moved by how patient the detective was with this random fucking author.
Yes.
Trying to contribute to the case.
Yeah.
Can you, I feel like her character, think about what a different show it would have been if her character was like, never right about anything, you know? And she just kept, like, everywhere she went, there were all these murders, and she would always show up at the crime scene and try to tell the police what was going on. It'd be just a really, it'd be a comedy. It'd be a really different and
that
funny show.
That would be a very different show. She did know that detective. They set that up at the beginning where she's still. Like, oh, hello, detective, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a point, which I remember from the show, she's always showing off her detective skills in these not subtle at all ways.
Mm-hmm.
He shows up. The detective shows up because someone took a shot at T.T. Baines the night before.
I'm sorry, I just started thinking. talking about the employee files. Like, that would be the first place you looked. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
So the detective starts sniffling, and she looks at her friend Howard and says, "Do you still have your cat?
I can tell." Oh, that's what that was about.
Because this detective is allergic to cats.
That's what that was about. I was like, oh, that's going to... I actually made a note about that. Oh, his allergies are going to play some important role here.
It was
like,
so
that's
fucking dumb.
Be some big reveal about something, but
it's
no.
It's just supposed
it was
to
just
show that they have a previous relationship and she knows so much about them and that she's just fucking Sherlock Holmes because she put that one together.
Yep.
Also, I don't think that's how allergies work. Unless he had his cat, like, inside his sweater.
I think he just had a lot of cat hair and dander on him.
Right, but the detective didn't, like, lick him or anything.
You don't know, Micah. You don't know. That, now think about what a different show that would be, too. What if, like, people just licked each other on this show instead? You know, it would have been just an interesting element to throw in. In every episode, somebody licks somebody.
Else. Hmm.
It's different every time.
I wonder why that hasn't been used ever as a device in a show.
Hey, TM on that. That's ours.
Yeah.
When we make our show, it's one of the things we're going to do. What else did I say here? Oh, Russ did a bad burn on Bud. He did a burn on him about how ladies like his dad better than him.
Oh, that was a good burn.
Burned him right up. Oh, the acting was both painful and wonderful to watch.
Yeah, the sad thing was...
I thought Angela Lansbury was fine, and I thought what's-his-name was fine.
David Ogden Stiers was his character that he always plays, the stuffy, old culture
dude. Kind of dickbag, but not really.
And Angela Lansbury, a few times I wrote down, oh my god, she's such a shitty actress. Because she just kept turning and explaining things in the... I don't know, it was just annoying.
No, yeah, it is. It's bad because the whole thing is so contrived. I don't know that she's bad. I'm not willing to say anything bad about her. She's Angela Lansbury. I'm not fucking with that. I'm just saying that the whole show is contrived, and anytime you have a contrived premise, people are going to appear to suck at acting.
Yeah, it looks bad. And let me also say, I remember watching this show as a child and loving it and thinking she was a genius because she figured this out every week.
Yeah.
Also,
always, every time.
I was really young and not very smart.
There was a fox making love to a porcupine joke.
Oh, yeah.
Don't remember, but I did take a note about it.
Don't think it's worth remembering.
Oh, yeah. Here, the employee file. This was part of the plot that... So somebody tried to shoot Russ and TT the night before Russ actually died. Turns out that was all a setup.
It's called a red herring. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
By Russ and TT, and they hired this dude the guy you were talking about who's in debt and all that.
The accounts guy, yeah.
His name's Dave. In his employee file, guess what he has in there?
He's a sharpshooter.
He has a sharpshooter medal in his employee file. Dude has a sharpshooter medal. Don't know why that's in his employee file at the radio station.
Well,
but
when you get out of the military, you list all the medals you have when you're applying for a job to sell ads at a radio station.
How did no one put that shit together?
Totally normal resume stuff.
Like, well, these police are very bad police.
Jessica Fletcher did.
I know, but that's my point.
Yeah, there are a lot of details in the employee files that were brought up that only Jessica is able to read, apparently.
Oh, she also, at the end, she walks into the radio station during Howard's show.
Yeah. Just,
is it just Howard? It's Howard and
Howard
TT.
Howard and TT, yeah. She just
because eventually
right in
they
there.
Make them do a show together,
which is another absurd thing that would never happen. It was such a fucking dumb idea.
I actually kind of liked the idea, really? To be honest with you. Except I thought it should have been that they kept playing both styles of music and then that they would talk about both. But what it was just basically they just put Harold on there as an old curmudgeonly dude that TT could make fun of.
Yeah.
But I think it's a kind of cool concept.
Hmm.
Anyways, during their show, she walks in the middle of it, because you can just walk in.
Just walks in the studio.
And sits down, starts having a conversation on the air right then. Oh, and then guess what she does? She accuses someone of murder on the radio, on the air, which is not a thing that you should do.
It's the Perry Mason moment. It's how Perry Mason always got people to confess on the witness stand. Like, he knew who it was and then he did
but
it. But
on the radio is different than on the witness stand.
But they always did this in the show, I think. It would be some big public event and then she would step in and confront the person and get them to confess and tell it all.
It was very bad. Very bad.
When you're not a cop, see, what cops have to do is come up with evidence and document it, and then things go to trial. But when you're just a mystery writer, what you do is figure it all out in your head, don't tell anyone, and then just stage a really dramatic moment where you embarrass the person in front of everyone and get them to tearfully confess.
Well, and also you don't like hand it over to the detective what you found out.
No, you don't tell anyone.
You don't let the detective handle it.
Right.
You
confront the murderer.
The author, you go on.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
good idea.
It was real bad. And we're not going to say who she accused yet, because of course she was right. Who did you think it was, Micah?
I thought this was going to be a big twist and they were going to wrap the show up by having Jessica murder Russ.
Are you being serious?
I thought it would have been a really good choice.
I mean, that would have been a really, really pretty cool
because she had motive.
Finale.
Her friend Howard is losing his job by these young cultured punks who are ruining radio and the world and civilization.
Yeah.
And
she does like shake her head a lot in
yes.
this one.
What really nailed it for me was when Russ was murdered, the cops show up, they're in his hotel room, and who walks in?
And how do you and Mr. Deems happen to be here, Mrs. Fletcher?
Well, I was staying here at this hotel.
I was picking her up to take her to the airport. We saw the commotion downstairs.
What do you make of this, Lieutenant?
Well, poor guy was run through with the fireplace poker. No prints. It was wiped clean.
How is she not a suspect?
It is ludicrous that she would not be a suspect. As much as she's like poking her nose into it and just is every... She just shows up everywhere.
No one asked her for an alibi the whole fucking time.
No, you're right.
She's the common denominator
you really did
of
think
the
it was her,
thousands and thousands of murders that have happened in her tiny yeah. town in Maine. She goes to say, every time she fucking travels, someone near her that she just talked to gets murdered.
Yeah, it's true. I wonder if this time the curse is going to be reversed and we're going to die after this episode because we talked about her. She might have that kind of power, you know?
Also, the show is called Murder, She Wrote. I mean...
She wrote the murders.
Right. But I think she already also did all the murders.
She did the murders and she wrote about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she just finds somebody to pin the blame on.
See, what I think would be cool, and maybe they did this on some episodes, I think it would be cool if they tied in her books to the actual crimes. Like, mm-hmm. There's absolutely no reason, based on this final episode, why she would know any of this shit. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yes, she writes mysteries, so I guess you have to do a fair amount of research for that. But my point is, if it would have been something she had written about already, and she used the clues because these people followed the pattern of her book.
Well, right.
Or
but
if
then
it
that
was
would be
in
even
any
more
connected,
evidence that she did the murder.
If it was in any way connected to her books, I thought it would be cool. But it's not. She just writes mysteries and...
That would require a whole other level of writing skill that the writers of the show did not possess.
Did you want to know who I thought it was? Or
yeah.
Okay. I thought at several points that it was different people. Here's a note I took at one point. Okay, so the killer is Lauren. Don't know who the fuck Lauren is. Oh, she's the woman. She was the woman. So the killer's Lauren, or Bud, or TT, or Eddie, or Colleen, or Annie, or Dave. So I had it narrowed down at that point to them.
You had it narrowed down to half the cast.
Yeah. But then I landed on Eddie, who is a character we have not talked about yet.
Is he the...
Eddie's like the producer.
Board guy? Yeah.
Yeah, he runs the board in the radio station.
Yeah.
The sound board.
Yeah. So he's producing
like,
the shows.
He's
yeah.
like a good friend of Howard's. He's mm-hmm. producing the shows. TT was really mean to him. And they do this thing several times where they show his face up close, like looking kind of upset. And he's not a big part of the show, which is why I thought it's going to be... I thought they were going to make him like a bigger... Yeah, but it wasn't. It was not...
It wasn't Eddie.
Eddie, and it was not Jessica Fletcher. Who was it,
we've
Micah?
Narrowed it right down. It was TT Baines.
It was TT, guys. The chest guy.
So, Russ.
Are you excited?
Russ.
Did that give you a little thrill?
Trying to pull this scam and take over the radio station, and Lauren was mucking everything up because she was actually in love with the owner.
And so TT killed him.
She confronted him and said that she actually wanted to be with the owner and didn't want to go through with the rest of the plan, whatever the fuck it was. And she was going to kill him, but then TT did it instead. That was kind of what TT confessed.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So that's that. That's who did it. And that was Murder, She Wrote, the finale, Death by Demographics.
And then did we even get to see him get cuffed and let off? I think the cops did come get him or something.
I don't know.
So Jessica figured this out because there's a point where she's talking to the detective and the detective is going through the different scenarios.
You said that nobody else had an alibi either.
Well, exactly. You know where this puts me, Mrs. Fletcher? This is like you're renewing my long-term lease on square one. All right. Let's go back to the notion that this robbery stuff was just a diversion to throw us off.
Unless...
Oh, come on. That was your idea.
Well, I know. But here's another one.
And right then, somebody walks up to the detective and hands him the crime photos. Hey, the crime scene photos are in. And hands them to him. And he just hands them to Jessica.
My God, and she looks at it idiot.
And instantly...
What is wrong, like, with this dude?
Something is missing. I don't know what it is, but something's missing. Just from looking at the crime scene photo.
Yep. And the detective... The detective's like, you do.
Yeah, he just stands there like, okay. Okay,
I never seen no photos before. I don't know. How do you even make these? What's these shapes? And is this paper? Yeah. What's this?
So then he takes them and walks off, and Jessica instantly remembers the class ring, which has something to do with some bullshit. They all went to high school together.
Yeah, it's important for some reason.
The way she finally puts it together and realizes that it was TT is because Russ was stabbed with a fireplace poker.
Mm-hmm.
And there were no prints on it or anything. It was wiped totally clean. Later in the show, someone's crying or someone's upset, and TT pulls out his handkerchief, and it's covered in soot from the fireplace poker.
Oh, my God.
But a little while ago, when Lauren was dabbing at her eyes, I recalled a telltale soot smudge on your handkerchief.
Look, can I go?
The handkerchief you'd used to wipe your fingerprints from the fireplace poker. I realized finally it had to have been you who took the one worthless object that was missing. The class ring with an inscription from Lauren.
So this
idiot as
criminal
well.
Genius was smart enough to wipe the fingerprints off well, it's my only fucking handkerchief and I don't know how to do laundry, so I'm just going to put it in my pocket.
I'm not even going to rinse it out in the sink or
what
anything.
The fuck?
Could have burned it. You were right by a fireplace, you dumb fuck.
Don't want him to get my fingerprints. Okay, right back in the pocket. Only handkerchief I've ever owned.
Dipshit. Sorry, I've started saying idiot again, and I love that word, but I try not to say it so much because it has an ugly past, and so I do like dipshit.
Douche canoe is a good
douche
one.
Douche canoe is, like, different to me, though. The meaning of it is different. Okay. Dipshit has the same meaning.
Shit for brains. Is
that
a good one?
Just, you know, a deck short of a couple cards short of a deck.
Nope, keep going with what you were.
Couple knives short of a knife drawer.
A deck short of a...
Not the sharpest tool in the shed. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. I really want to hear the end of that deck short of a...
Not the longest axe. That's that whole one.
That's it.
Because an axe could be anywhere, and so it's hard to narrow down.
That's not the longest one. It's a short axe.
That guy's not the longest axe.
He's a hatchet. Is that talking about his brains, though?
Yeah, he's a hatchet.
So the way it ends, they wrap it up.
Talking about this.
The final scene is Howard's back on the air. They just give him his show back.
Yeah. So everything goes back to normal, like it should be.
Yep. Everything goes back to the way it should be. Everyone's happy. And Howard even gets a line at the end because Jessica's there again. She just walks in the studio while he's doing a show. He goes off the air for a second and they start talking and he says,
"This is sweet, isn't it?"
"Oh, it's splendid, Howard. I couldn't be happier for you and for KLOY. And I understand that the advertising sales are better than ever."
"Indeed. Yeah. The advertisers seem finally to have discovered the idea that people like us are an invaluable segment of the market."
It was such a dig at CBS because they changed the time slot of the show and then changed it back. And it just was so
cheesy.
It also
did not feel like a finale.
No.
Normally on a show that runs for that long, there's some sort of actual finale, like a wrap up or an emotional something. And I don't know if they know for sure that this was the last episode?
I think so, from what I could tell, yeah.
Well, it was a very weird way to end it.
It was very strange. He did mention, though, that he now likes the rock and roll a little bit. Like, he enjoyed a couple of the songs. And Jessica is just aghast.
Yeah.
Because he likes classical music. I didn't notice all the classical music they played, but one of the very first scenes, they play the 1812 Overture, which is the one with
Tchaikovsky.
The cannons. And he mentions that. But I just thought that was a little, like, that's a really famous piece of classical music. Like, mm-hmm. everybody knows that one. If you're trying to show a guy that's so cultured and has this classical music show and would play
Micah.
Yes?
You have to make it accessible to the viewers. Okay. That's, I know. Come on. No one wants to feel like they're not as smart as you. You know what I mean?
Jessica Fletcher, you mean?
As everyone just feels as not anybody as smart as Jessica Fletcher. As, you know, the
final thing I wanted to mention, I really remember this from shows in the 80s, not so much in the mid 90s, but man, they held on to what they did and did well. The show ends with a freeze frame.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Which
yeah.
I remember from comedies and action shows, like the A-Team and stuff.
Yeah, yes.
Is it necessary for the show?
Well, dramas did that, too. Did. I think so. But, man, once again, I'm just thinking, I just keep thinking about My So-Called Life, which was, I mean, granted, it's different because it started in 94 as opposed to ending in 96. You know what I mean? This started right, in the 80s.
It ended before Murder, She Wrote did.
No, I know. I'm just saying they didn't have that style already put in place. But still, I just feel like they did not do so many of the cheesy shit that we talk about with different TV shows or whatever. Like, they didn't do any of that. It just was so ahead of its time. God, you guys, if you haven't listened to our My So-Called Life episodes,
go back.
Go back and listen to them. But watch the show. It's on Hulu.
It was really great.
It's a wonderful show that I feel like you should see. Show, and you should also listen to us talk about it because, I mean, or and it depends on whether you like listening to us talk right now. If you do, you might enjoy those. And if you're like, if you're right now in some sort of hostage situation, let me try that again. What? If you're right now in some sort of hostage situation, you're being forced to listen to this. You probably won't want to go back. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, if you're not, you may not be enjoying this, is what I'm saying.
I don't know that in that situation, if you'll even have the choice.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying once you get out of the hostage situation.
Oh, yeah, I mean? it may bring up bad memories for you. So don't listen to this podcast anymore.
Well, I mean, you're kind of missing my whole point, which is not about how scarred this person is going to be by the hostage situation. That's irrelevant.
Why are you making this about you, Jen?
We don't care about the hostage. I'm saying the hostage person. What I'm saying is we have free will and people should make their own choices. And that person didn't get to make their own choice about this and they should get to make their own choice. And so I think, you know, it's highly likely, especially at this point, like where we've come to in this episode, that they are not enjoying this experience.
Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they're probably not going to go.
But maybe.
They're probably not going to choose to listen to more of it.
Maybe once you get out of this hostage situation, if you make it through this, it could be empowering to go back and be like, yeah, I'm going to listen to the older ones.
My choice.
Right.
My choice.
Right. So.
Mm-hmm. See?
That's what we hope for most of our listeners.
For most of our hostage listeners.
Oh, man.
If you are in a hostage situation, just send us a signal. Let us know, you know? I'm not, like, on any drugs or anything. I just feel really tired.
Wow.
So that's all this is.
I just want to hear more about how that would work.
Let me tell you, are we done talking about that show?
No, I have two more things. That's how Jen feels about it.
Jesus.
Which is a perfect segue because that's how you felt as the show ended. The credits were coming on and Jen's like, can you just turn it off? I'm done.
No, the music, the whole thing.
Yeah, the music came back on, but I was again brought back to my childhood because I wanted to watch the scenes. They show the scenes from the show that you just watched as little freeze frames under the credits. And I remember them doing that too. And that was the thing I said every night when the show ended. My mom would be like, it's time to go to bed. And I'm like, oh, I want to watch the scenes.
I want to watch the scenes. That's really cute.
That was my thing.
Was that a phrase that people used or that's just what you called it?
Because I thought it was a phrase that everyone used, but...
Listeners, let us know because I don't remember using that phrase, but wouldn't be surprised if I also tried to make that argument, you know, like, no, I want to stay up and see the scenes.
I want to see these still images
except
of what I just watched.
My parents probably would have just like automatically let me do that, I think.
Yeah, I had to fight for everything in my life.
You had to fight for everything you have. Yeah, well, you didn't get sent away from home, so you can just go ahead and suck it.
Once again, thank you for the perfect segue. I wanted to talk about how this related to your time in Montana.
Oh, perfect. That is the last thing you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Okay. This show doesn't relate.
So it doesn't relate to Montana, but it does relate to... Jen and I were college radio DJs. So we worked at our college radio station, and there were a lot of murders.
Mm.
So it was very similar to our experience at the college radio station.
Okay.
Every time they tried to change the format, you know, and somebody new came in and...
Murder again.
Just another murder.
Oh, hey guys. Jeff did another murder over here in the hall.
Jeff.
Fucking Jeff. He did. He was just murdering and murdering.
It was always him, too. Nobody caught him because we didn't have a Jessica Fletcher.
Yeah, but we all knew it was Jeff. So I don't know why that guy never got arrested. So what was your point here that this was brought up, like how we bonded when we were young or what?
No, just that there was no point. It was just that it didn't relate to your time in Montana at all. And it's hard to make a connection.
But it did relate
to
nothing.
Yes.
You tried to make a connection and there wasn't one.
Yeah, not one.
We were also on the radio is what you were saying, I guess.
And I did have that thought as I was writing down jokes and taking notes as I do. This is just like when we worked at KSLC 179.18 was the FM frequency on that one.
It was not.
I know. The joke is that 114.3 is not a fucking radio frequency.
So, no. There was nothing in this particular episode that made me think about Montana. But let me tell you about the show I've been watching called Leah Remini, Scientology in the Aftermath. It's a completely different subject that has nothing to do with Murder, She Wrote. And I'm not going to talk about it for a long time. But I do want to tell you, because this podcast is partially about my being sent away from home and living in Montana for 2 years at a therapeutic boarding school. I have been obsessed with this show, first of all. Scientology is so fucked up, you guys. Seriously. It's a really horrible organization. There is an episode. It's season 2, episode 7, I think. It's called The Ranches. And it is about these ranches that the kids of Scientologists would be sent to when they were not falling in line or when they were just being hard to deal with. Basically, when they were, you know, what people call kids at risk. Kids like me were sent to these ranches. It is striking the similarities between the ranches and my ranch. I mean, it was a ranch that we lived on. There are some differences, of course, but, you know, the hard labor and the hard labor being used as a punishment, the just verbal abuse, God, there was a person at one point. So Leah Remini interviews two people who used to be at these camps, at the ranch, these ranches, whatever. And this woman, who was a girl at the time, this woman told a story about having to do something but with the wrong tool, like a tool that would take forever and be way harder intentionally. And that is another thing that, like, I remember at one point I had to dig this big, it was during my time on work crew, which I've talked about in a previous episode, but I was out by myself working all day, every day for 5 weeks. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. So during that time, I had to dig this really, really big hole because I was putting in a gate post, and it was a huge gate post for a very large gate. And I was digging with a cat food tin can.
I remember you talking about this.
Not from the very beginning. I actually think it's just because the hole got so deep. I had no tools that would reach down there.
Mm.
So I was hanging by my feet. I mean, by my legs. I had my head in the hole, digging with a cat food tin can, which takes a while, as you can imagine, like digging a hole. And I kind of lost my mind a little bit at that time. I got delirious, which was sort of a good thing. I started writing weird songs. I got really obsessed with the idea of time. I was just like, time, man, what is time? Spent a lot of time hanging upside down with my head in the hole. But my point is, stuff like that, like just making it hard for the sake of making it hard, you know, she's described the labor they did as like backbreaking, like really difficult stuff, which I would say we did, as well as just a lot of the exercise we were forced to do. Anyway, so if you're curious, that would be an episode to check out. It's it was definitely striking, and again brought up more of the anger that I have been feeling lately about being sent away. But that's all I wanted to say about that. Nothing to do with Jessica Fletcher.
All right, so that was Murder, She Wrote. I don't think we're going to be watching any more of this one.
I'm just going to say no, we're all not. Right. Phew. No. Mm-mm. I will watch more X-Files. I'll watch more ER. I'll watch more Frasier. I will watch more almost anything else that we've watched. And honestly, it's not that I hated this. I didn't hate it. I just found it really boring. I thought the acting was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's very bad. It's not good. It's, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's interesting.
It wasn't as bad as The Mask or Batman Forever.
No.
It was bad in a different way.
Right. They put too many details in. Like, they were trying to tell an interesting story and make it really mysterious, and they failed. And the way I know they failed, I mean, I hadn't figured out who did it necessarily, but I didn't care when I found out. I was like, oh, so it was him, huh? Hey, guys. It was Jeff again. Like, that's how I felt.
Fuck Jeff, man.
Just put me right back in those college murder days.
So we do have a new patron.
Oh my God, we have a new patron.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Dude, I'm so excited. And this is a new person too, a new listener, a new everything. They are a member of another podcast's Facebook group that I'm also in. Their name is Tasha Crow. Thank you so much. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. Tasha. Spelled with an O. T-O. So anyways, you probably figured out who I was talking to if you're listening to this, Tasha. Anyway, thank you so much. It's really amazing when people, A, even want to listen to this shit, and B, are willing to help us do it by supporting us financially. And it's really awesome. So thank you so much. We are at 29 patrons right now, so getting closer to 50.
21 more.
Yeah,
and we Jen can do gets it. A tattoo.
I think we got to just put the bat signal out there, you know what I mean? The Patreon signal. There, we have one of those, right? The commissioner?
Yes. Yeah, the commissioner will show up as soon as we put it up in the air. Is that how that works? I don't know how that works.
No.
When we get to 50 patrons, Jen has committed to getting a tattoo somehow related to our podcast, and you could help choose it if you're a patron.
A patron is going to design it.
Yeah.
Hopefully we have patrons who would want to do that.
Fantasy
a patron
Mariah
is
Carey
going to
portrait?
Draw something. And
oh,
actually,
that's a lot of pressure.
We're going to open it up to all patrons. Anyway, this is a long time from now, but so we'll iron out the details later, but I'm going to get a tattoo that we vote on or something that is designed by one of you. So become a patron, you guys.
Maybe something related to Animal Bag.
Seriously, it really does help us. I it's just so helpful. Thank you to Tasha and all of our patrons. And, you know, if you want to hear us thank you on our show, then you should become a patron too.
Or tweet at us. Or tell a friend about our podcast. Or...
Yes, those are also really great ways you can support us and help
join
us out.
Join our Facebook group.
Please do. We need new people in our Facebook group. We love our Facebook group. It's really fun in there. We do a lot of talking.
We get a lot of great requests.
We get requests in there. That is actually where we get almost all of our requests. I mean, we get some just from people we know. But yeah, so if you want to have a say in the show too, join our Facebook group. It's the place to be.
Otherwise, you're going to be stuck with more things like the season finale of Murder, She Wrote,
which
was my idea.
Was not requested by anyone. But when we said we were going to do it, people got excited. So that's cool. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. We appreciate you very much. Thank you to Graham McRae for our artwork.
Thank you to Fifi Folios for our internet stuff.
And thanks to Minus Violet for our music.
Until next time.
See you in the 90s. 90s.